Great efficiency with NACFI's Mike Roth and Friends.
Today, I have Rob Reich with me. Rob, you lead a pretty big fleet in Schneider, so welcome and tell us a little about yourself. Remind everybody about Schneider, or maybe give us something we don't already know, and tell us about your role there and what you love about it, and maybe what are some of the biggest challenges.
All right, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on. Well, I've been at Schneider for 27 years, and most of that time I've spent on the equipment side of things. So I started out as a shop manager many years ago and progressed my way through the maintenance organization. Ultimately, I've had for the last 12 years as part of my role accountability for our equipment engineering and purchasing and our maintenance organization. Today, I'm our chief administrative officer, so that includes some other support functions. Here at Schneider, predominantly all of our recruiting and training and safety program, and then our facilities management as well. So Schneider, Mike, we're a full truckload carrier, been around for 85 years when Al Schneider sold the family car and bought a truck, headquartered here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We've got about 10,000 trucks on the road, about 40,000 trailing units, very large van truckload and dedicated business, but also a very large intermodal business. So as we talk trucks, you know, dray trucks are clearly a part of what we're thinking about as we think about different technology in the future. And then we've got a big logistics part of the organization as well with a brokerage and a supply chain management function. But of course, no equipment in that business, trucks and containers in the intermodal and your standard truck and trailer in our van truckload and dedicated business.
Yeah, so, you know, the size always strikes me, Rob, because I remember years ago when we did our first tire pressure system, I was talking to, I think, Steve Dooley, and he said, yeah, we got a couple hundred of those. And I said, well, a couple hundred, that's a good bit. And he goes, Mike, not for us.
A small test. We call that a small test.
Yeah. So we're going to do a twofer today. This might be a little tough for you, Rob, but I think you're up for it. But you know, you have a dual role when it comes to working with me. Of course, the Schneider we've already talked about, but you're also the NACFI Board of Directors Chairman, and the two of us work pretty closely together. So for the rest of this time together, I want to ask you to really respond with both hats on, and maybe one and then the other or something. I don't know, but tell us a little bit about getting involved with NACFI, the North American Council for Freight Efficiency, and then what led you to take on this this role that you've really had now for 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I really enjoy that aspect of my career, actually, Mike. It's been a lot of fun. Well, you know, I was introduced to NACFI, geez, how long ago is it now, Mike? 8-9 years probably, when you approached us about participating in one of the early fleet fuel studies. And, you know, that was a really great experience for us because I think it's one of the powers of really benchmarking in general. But what our NACFI fleet fuel study does is really give you a chance, especially sitting in the chair I sit in at Schneider, to see, hey, how do we stack up with some of the other best carriers out there in the industry from a fuel efficiency standpoint? So that's what got Schneider involved. That's what got me involved and got me and us very interested in the work NACFI was doing and what we could learn from it. So we participated in that for a few years. Fast forward a couple of years after that, and from getting to know you, got a chance just to be on the board for a few years. And again, saw that same benefit of from a company standpoint, really understanding what's out there and how we stack up. From a broader industry impact, then I think it's really cool and love NACFI's perspective of addressing fuel efficiency, or even, you know, take a step back, climate change and all the issues that come along with that, from an industry business lens, and helping the industry see, hey, we can really have a positive impact on the broader issues, but as well as your bottom line. And I just find that very appealing, that rational, reasonable, objective perspective that we bring to those issues. And because of that, you know, I was happy to step into the chair role a few years ago and spend a little bit more time with you and the organization to drive us ahead. So it's been great.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the whole, being more profitable or being able to lower prices, just be more cost competitive with saving fuel and technologies that in practices that can help do that. But also, you know, that does come with less emissions and really, a greenhouse gas improvement. So what I'd like to do is go through, you know, NACFI has three work streams or three parts to our business. The first being that we, scale available technologies. So look to, to take advantage of technologies that are, out there and available, but could be on more of the trucks and trailers. And then, we've got the run on less demonstration. And then finally, where we're looking to help guide the emerging technologies be, more successful earlier. So let's walk through each of those three one at a time. And you kind of give, your perspective on both the Schneider side of that as well as the role you play at NACFI. So, first is around, scaling available technology. So these are things that, are now available either from the truck and trailer builders or could be easily retrofitted. But not, at too big of a scale. And, NACFI does confidence reports and other, promotion of research to really a thought leadership and so forth around that. So how do you benefit from that? And what sort of your thoughts around these current technologies?
Well, looking at it from a NACFI perspective on the current technologies first, Mike, I think I'm biased, as you know, I think we do a great job of helping people just see what's out there and helping them understand it better, and then really providing them perhaps with just some simple questions that they need to ask as they look at their own fleet. And I think there's a lot of value to that because, and I'm sure other listeners who are responsible for fleet equipment, you get a ton of calls from people who tell you they've got the latest great idea. And, you got to be open to listen to some of those things. But I think what we bring from NACFI perspective with all these confidence reports is just some additional context so you can get through the noise and get yourself to, there's three or four key questions I have here that this confidence report has helped me determine and figure out. Now let me go assess what my fleet can actually benefit from. And so sitting at the Schneider perspective, that's really what it's all about, is you hear all of these opportunities. And I'm fortunate. I work for a large organization. We have a lot of resources, got a staff of great mechanical engineers. So we're lucky that we can put a lot of time against some of these things. But you still, that filter that we provide through some of that noise can be really helpful of, hey, here's what NACFI found. Let's go look at that because we're not doing it yet. And I think That's the benefit of some of those current state initiatives. I mean, how many technologies do we look at in the fleet fuel study?
Yeah, so there's 85
80 or something, right?
Yeah, there's 85 technologies, and then we over the years we've published 18 confidence reports,
right?
And so we group, like there's one on tires, which groups wide base tires and low rolling resistance tires. There's one on tractor aerodynamics that goes through hoods and bumpers and mirrors and all that. So we group them into some logical kind of segments. On those confidence reports, Rob, I mean, they get down to sort of the technology level, but, NACFI doesn't really get into comparing one manufacturer to the next. I mean, is that the right place for NACFI to sort of stop its work and then kind of turn it over to the fleets and manufacturers, or could we be doing more there?
I'm comfortable stopping there because I think have you positioned somebody where they've got enough knowledge that they know what questions to ask, they know whether they should be looking at something at all, given their operating characteristics. And at that point, you can work with a variety of suppliers and do some of that. I think when you get into trying to make the judgment between suppliers, frequently that really depends on your operating characteristics. Mm-hmm. And we can't cover everybody. So I feel good that we stop there. We've given people some good objective data, and then they can understand their own specific circumstances, specific spec needs. Off they go.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this particular part of the work around, technologies that are out? It's different probably for those that are more mature and have a bigger use mm-hmm. versus some that are just currently available. But any other thoughts you have there?
Well, two things. I'd encourage people to look at them because it'll help you think of some questions and things you can challenge your own business on, but it can also save you a heck of a lot of time. And why not save yourself some time?
All right. So let's move into kind of the second area that I mentioned of these three work streams at NACFI, and that's run on less. So I remember, we've done two run on less events,
yep.
One that was primarily long haul and then one that was more in the dedicated sort of regional haul this past year. And I remember, us talking about doing them. We really looked to find some of the best of the best, and you know, share very specifically what's possible with some trucks in real world freight movement. So, do you remember the first thought of run on less, and did you think of it to be a good idea or not? And kind of where has that come?
Yeah, it's been a great success story, Mike, but I remember when we first started planning the first run on less, you know, it takes a lot to get 10 different fleets together and do all that testing. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm not sure if we can pull this off. So one, I just feel good from the operating standpoint is that we got the right trucks and people involved and really pulled off what came out to be a really good test. And I think what was exciting, you know, we went into it thinking, hey, do you think we can hit 10 miles a gallon? Probably not. And those trucks did hit that. So I think one, just I always felt good about the ability for our organization, which listeners may or may not know, pretty small, you know, you and some contract guys working part-time really put a lot of work into that and did a great job. Off we go, and then you get the results we got and some of the lessons from that. I think, you know, it was a real eye-opener for everybody in the industry of, man, you know, that's 10 trucks out there doing normal work, getting 10 miles a gallon. That's really something to pay attention to. So to me, that really set us up for some future work as well, because I think that legitimizes some of the questions and some of the work that we're doing when you can see those potential results.
Yeah, so kind of from a benchmark standpoint, you know, just a couple of details around it. You know, the national average, if you just take the, you know, billions of miles traveled by Class 8 tractor trailers over the highway and the gallons consumed, you know, it is a little higher than 6, about 6.1 mile per gallon. And, you know, the two run on less we had, the one with, you know, more long haul, you know, did 10.1. And then more recently in the fall with a lot more challenges of start and stop and, you know, much different payload challenges in regional haul. You know, they showed the 9 diesel trucks showed 8.7. So when you think about 6,
which is really impressive.
Yeah, you think about 6 as a national average, and then the fact that this is possible. And the run on less, you know, one of the things we hear all the time when people talk about those kind of numbers, you know, a lot of the industry will say, that's BS. You know, that's going downhill with no load, wind behind you.
Right.
And you know, and no, it's not. I mean, it is, you know, over time with different loads. And And so, you know, that is a lot. That's a lot of fuel and emissions. And, you know, that's possible.
That's absolutely right. And I think it's the great thing about Run on Less, how we've approached it, but also who's involved, both from our NACFI team as well as all the fleets and drivers that participated. These are just folks in the industry that are proud of what they do and showing the art of the possible. So, you know, I would argue there's no bias there. It's not someone outside the industry trying to convince you of something. It's people in the industry who said, hey, I've figured out how to do this and you should know about it because it's possible. So I think that's the other neat aspect that I've appreciated about the program is, and it's not OEM driven even, it's us. It's a very unbiased perspective. And I think that really reinforces the results and the message that comes from those results.
Yeah. Well said. So, a lot of the details are, you know, you can find it through NACFI.org, but it's also on runonless.com. And, you know, there's literally dozens. I think there's something like 60 or 70 videos. These are videos from the driver's mouths, from the fleet themselves. I mean, these are, you know, comments like Rob said on all kinds of topics, you know, things like why do drivers like regional haul, or does aerodynamics work at lower speeds, or what is drop and hook? I mean, there's, you know, a lot of interesting, besides a lot of data on the real world performance. So have a look. You know, it's quite interesting. So let's go to the sort of I'll call it the final work stream from now, because, you know, NACFI does do a lot of other things. But, you know, a few years ago, we and NACFI decided to start looking into the future a little bit and took on another pretty big challenge. And that was, you know, forecasting the future is a dangerous thing to do, but we're doing what we're calling guiding future change, and we're renaming that this year, calling it guiding emerging change, because the futures come fast and they're really here. And NACFI's done a bunch of specific work on electric trucks, but also looking at hydrogen fuel cells and even some work we're kicking off on you know, the automation, you know, cruise controls, advanced cruise controls, all the way out to the even more of the, you know, trucks and the computers and the trucks help driving the truck more economically, you know, maybe even to the point where we, you know, the drivers aren't needed or, you know, who knows where the future's headed, but that's part of this whole work. So tell me about what you think there.
Well, you know, I think it's a nice balance for NACFI is that you look at how we've grown over the years, and it's really the order that we've talked about. Initially, it was very much about confidence reports. Hey, what's out there today, and what should you be thinking about right now? I think Run on Less started to get into that art of the possible, that here's folks who are leading edge and how they're thinking about it. But again, it was very much, and you can do it right now. So I think that our work here, Mike, has really created balance for the organization of now we're past that leading edge of current state and looking to that leading edge of the future. And I think that's healthy for, you know, as NACFI, well, heck, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary not too long ago. As we've matured as an organization, you get the ability to look further ahead. And so I think that's a really good spot to be. Again, from my seat at Schneider, this is even more beneficial, in my opinion, for a larger organization. I'll tell you my bias, because it is the great unknown. And it's nice to have, again, an unbiased third party out asking the hard questions and doing some of the research, because, you know, we all feel pretty comfortable about knowing what questions to ask about current state. But when you look that far out, you're like, man, I don't know how to think about that. And so getting some additional support in helping how you think about that is really beneficial.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for the NACFI team either. I mean, so when we kicked off, we call these guidance reports. So, you know, very, very intentional on NACFI's part. Confidence reports for, you know, things that you can buy on trucks
today.
Yep. Guidance reports on things that are emerging. And you might be able to, you know, there's a few out there, but it's really not available yet. You know, we felt like we had a good process in how we called, you know, confidence reports. We called up, you know, manufacturers and ask them, you know, what's your latest test data? What are you learning about this technology versus another? Maybe the manufacturer builds both, or maybe they don't. And then talking to fleets and testing organizations. But with all of that, there's always data out there. And sometimes, you know, the players want to keep that private. You know, they spend a lot of money on testing, but they, you know, but when we go to guiding, there just isn't. And so it becomes more, it becomes more of like studies and engineering plans and, you know, modeling and not real world data. So it was, we ask similar questions, but it's, you know, it is a lot more challenging, on looking forward. And what are the, so, you know, like, you know, something, you know, sometimes I think about the future and say, well, I'll just wait for everybody else to figure it out. But, you know, and then try to follow. Do you think about that at Schneider or, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Danger of missing out, I'm sure, but.
There is. Well, and again, I think that's some of the benefit of our guidance reports is that potentially you see something that you hadn't thought of yet so that you don't miss out. But yeah, that's always the big debate, Mike, is how far do you go? How much do you want to invest in something that may or may not play out? How much time can you even afford to spend on something that's going to happen 3 to 5 years from now? I think the answer is you absolutely need to do it. We're very committed at Schneider to testing new technology. We've always taken great pride in that. And, you know, having a couple trucks in the fleet that have something brand new on it well ahead of everybody else, if we can pull that off. And so that absolutely applies in some of the things, electric trucks and all the stuff that we're doing guidance reports on in NACFI. We think that's important. But we also, you know, even getting the guidance on, hey, where's the best place to test that first truck can be really helpful. And so you want to, again, educate yourself as much as you can around, well, what are my considerations? I think a great one that's come out of a lot of the guidance report discussion is on electric trucks is the power charging side and how to work with power companies. And, well, there's something we haven't had to think of before. So I think, again, spending time and thinking about that. And there's nobody here that has a lot of expertise in that. That's why our NACFI work can be so beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's close by just, you know, maybe, and I know you've sprinkled it throughout, but what do you see as the next few important challenges at Schneider? I mean, we're coming out of, you know, a really difficult time with the, you know, pandemic shutdown and now with, you know, some real recessionary challenges, but as we, you know, kind of as we come out and in thinking about these, you know, efficiency technologies and the future, How do you see that playing out, or what advice do you have for others in similar shoes?
Well, you're right. Obviously, the current state with the pandemic and the economic impact of that, no one obviously would have seen that coming. And most importantly, we have to work our way through that. But I'll tell you, as it relates to equipment and our ongoing work there, what we've stayed committed to is we can't let this derail us to such an extent that you really miss out or significantly delay a great opportunity to improve your equipment or to, you know, learn something new on equipment as we spend time in this space. So that's part of my advice is, you know, business reality is what it is and you have to deal with that. And there's cost pressures and everything else, as you'd guess. But we don't want to table it. We want to make sure that we're still committed to understanding what's coming, that we're still committed to our testing work, and that when that opportunity is there to take advantage of new technology that's going to improve our business, improve our ability to serve our customers, improve our driver experience, that we're ready to take advantage of it. And so that's really the key, is that we don't get so derailed where when those opportunities come that we're not prepared.
Yeah, a lot of the challenges that were before COVID are still there after, and we've got to figure
Absolutely.
Out how to deal with them. Well, hey, I want to Absolutely. Thank you very much for joining us, Rob. I want to thank you for your commitment to NACFI and leading the group as you do as the chairman of the board. And appreciate all your comments. They're really valuable for me and all of our listeners.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rosenfrantz.